We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie Norris.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. On Monday, April 10th, the back room at Colectivo on Prospect Avenue was home to a very spirited discussion between five Wisconsin radio talk show hosts, two moderators, and the studio audience. It was the fourth in a series of community events called Mill Mag Live, which are produced by Milwaukee Magazine and Lake Effect. This month's topic was based on a feature story by the magazine's managing editor, Tom Tolan, called Do We Even Need Talk Radio Anymore?
Five of the hosts profiled in that story were on stage that night. Conservative hosts Dan O'Donnell and Vicki McKenna from WISN, Mike Crute and Earl Ingram from WRRD, Milwaukee's new liberal station, and conservative host Jerry Bader from WTAQ in Green Bay. Joining them were Tom Tolan and me as moderators. The following is an excerpt from the almost 2 hours of passionate and often discordant discussion. The question we asked the panel was, what is the best and worst part of your job? WTAQ's Jerry Bader spoke first.
There are a lot of people who get up every day and go, oh my God, I have to go to work. I can't even imagine that. I cannot imagine not getting up. And I have two jobs now. I work for Media Trackers, but that's actually my full-time job. I did that on the condition that I would not have to leave the radio job. I cannot imagine being the guy who used to be on the radio. I can't. I love it too much. I love the interaction, even the woman I'm feuding with on Facebook right now, who makes Michael Moore look like Ronald Reagan. You know, I enjoy doing that. The worst part of it, I don't really see a worse part. I mean, I just got rid of the annoying part, and that's the management paperwork stuff. I don't have to do that anymore. That used to be the worst part for me. I think people who have never heard my show and know exactly what I say every day, going to the stereotype, being cliched, being stereotype, it's being judged without really being known. That'd be the biggest.
You know, I'm assuming everybody is seen or at least is familiar with the movie Almost Famous about the 1970s band. I only know that because that was the first date I went on with my wife in 2000. There's a scene at the very end where the journalist character William asks the rock star he's been sent to interview, what do you love about music? And he pauses for a moment and he says, well, to begin with, like he's going to give a canned answer, and then he says, everything. That's honestly what I feel like, whether it's conservative talk radio or sports talk radio, which I did, or spinning the hits of the 80s, 90s, and today, everything. I mean, what's not to love? We go on and we say what we believe. We talk about what we're passionate about. Like Jerry said, we can talk about fantasy football, United Airlines dragging that poor guy off of the plane this morning. I mean, anything you want. Politics is sort of the framework for it, but I really believe when you are on for 3 hours a day or 2 hours a day or whatever it is, you kind of bear a little bit of your soul for a lot of people to listen to. And that's really something special, and that bond you get with the people who listen to you and call in and email, even the ones who dislike you. It's you're putting yourself out there, and I honestly couldn't imagine doing anything else. And as for the worst thing, I don't know, maybe having to pee right before your show starts and knowing the first commercial's not for 20 minutes.
I was going to say, not being able to get up.
That's pretty much, that's honestly, that's it, though. I can't think of anything that's bad about it.
I'll tell you something.
Then again, I'm new.
Okay. I'll tell you something. I am honored every time I get an opportunity to have a microphone in my hand, because I spent 34 years in industry. And I'm a blue-collar worker. I'm a union guy. And so I lived a lifetime of walking into a plant, striking my badge, and doing my job, and people not caring what I had to say. I had a job. I did it well. I was very valuable to the company I worked for 34 years. And then after that, to have been given an opportunity where people thought that you had something of value to say, to me is beyond comprehension. So when I had the opportunity the first time, I really didn't realize the value of it. And I told people I never will forget from the first time they offered me the job. I said, I'm the guy, I'm the person I was before I got on the air, and I'll be that after it's over. And I always told the listeners that one day they're going to knock on the door and say, it's time for you to go. And I will say, thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'll hold my head up because I was the guy I was before I got there, and I'll be the same guy after it's over. And so never did I dream in a million years, and I thank Mike for giving me the opportunity. But I come in every day, and I speak for people who don't have a voice. That's my whole reality, because there's so many people who are marginalized in the society, black and white, and who nobody's championing their causes. And so they're like any other human being. They want a fair shot at life. And I see them being taken advantage of. And with them being taken advantage of, it feels like they're taking advantage of me. So I made it clear. It's not my program. It's not my show. It's the people and the people who need a voice.
Amen, Earl. I agree with what Earl just said there. And I also feel like I'm just blessed, lucky, gifted, something that I can open up a microphone every day. And I remember I was a rock and roll morning show host when 9/11 happened. And I went riding my motorcycle around Tyrell Basin in Dane County. And as I'm looking around, I'm thinking to myself, it could go like that. There are people in this world who would take away my microphone, my free speech, everything. Could just go away like that. And I thought from that moment, every single moment was an extension on the lease, you know? So it's an absolute honor to be able to be on the radio. It's an honor to do this job. I did 42 jobs. I got fired or quit from 42 jobs. So yeah, this was something that, you know, to finally find something you love and to be have somebody willing to write you a paycheck for it. The worst thing, though, is people have a tendency to oversimplify and stereotype and then dehumanize. So if they love you a lot, they can also assume that you are nothing more than just sort of a toy to be played with or a dog to be pet. And if they hate you, they want you dead under a bus. Just no in the middle there, no in between. Just it's either, let me pet you, or I want you dead and disemboweled. And that's kind of weird, because I don't view people like that. So that's about the worst thing.
I have never wanted Vicky dead under a bus.
It was a dump truck.
I will tell you, I will say this. First of all, I have the advantage over these guys in that I have a co-host, and it's my 25-year best friend, and it certainly makes life a lot easier on me. Started my day at like 6:45 today at an appointment, getting life insurance for a bank, and so I could buy a radio station, and then I had to meet with an architect so I could build out a suite so I could have a radio station. So I'm going to start with what sucks. What sucks is that I felt like to continue to live my dream, what I wanted to do when I grew up, I wanted to be this guy, living the dream. The part that sucks is that Democrats, that the left, doesn't see the same value and investment in their media sources as the right does.
I agree.
And that there are a lot of bad business people. You know, you want to know why Air America failed? Bad business. You want to know why lefty radio is quote-unquote failing and why it will never succeed, according to some? Because it's full of bad business people. And as a guy who's been doing business the last 25 years, I mean, I loved working in the newsroom. I had a job back when I was hair, when I had hair and I was skinny, I worked for ABC. I loved that job. I loved that the youngest cub reporter could go in the newsroom and with a good idea, go pursue it and go bring back the story. And it's the greatest feeling ever, and it's instant gratification, and it's so ego-fulfilling, even as a 21, 22-year-old kid, that my story would play on the 10 o'clock news. It was the greatest feeling ever. And then the student loans kicked in. And I was broke. You know, I got offered an anchor job, paid $13,500 a year, full time. They own my image. I couldn't even sell my voice for beer money. And I said, you know, I got to do something different. So for the last 20 years, I sold out my dream. My dream's to do what these guys do. My dream's to be a media guy. And I sold it out. And I did sales and I did sales management. And I bought a company and I poured my energies into making money. Because I thought that's the American dream, get paid. Well, I got paid. And it's a soul-sucking experience compared to having a live red light on every day and knowing whatever you're saying, somebody's listening, good or bad. And it's the greatest feeling ever, the greatest part of this job up until election day was doing a radio show and thinking I had something clever to say. And the worst part of this job is that I have my entire life exposed right now financially. Every, my house, my business, every part of my life is exposed, because if it's not me, who's it gonna be? If I don't put it up, if I don't mortgage my future, there's no one on the left willing to do the same thing that think tanks and the Bradley Foundation and differing people have invested to do long before me. And I'm not a rich man by a long shot. Don't let Bruce Murphy fool you. I've never been independently wealthy. I work for a living. But this is the greatest job ever. And I have a great co-host and business partner in doing the radio show. And I admire what each one of these people do, because I go do it with a partner and they do it alone. And if you think it's easy, it's not easy. I mean, think about how many times just talking to the kids, your wife, whatever, you misspeak. Well, now do it on a live mic with 5 to 10,000 people listening. And anyways, thanks for having me on this panel. I feel like I'm not Lou Gehrig, but I do feel like the luckiest guy alive. I just wish I didn't have to invest my entire financial future to pull it off.
Well, let me real quickly say, Mike, I think, is selling himself short, because he might have thought the worst day was the election. But I think it was shortly afterwards when iHeart decided to flip formats in Madison. Now, a lesser...
Oh, we got fired the day before.
Oh, did you? Okay, the day before. I'm sorry. But the day before. A lesser person would have just said, all right, I guess my dream is dead again. But it takes a real talented human being, not a radio person, but someone to say, you know what? If an existing radio station isn't going to have my show on, I'm going to get a radio station that'll put my show on. That sort of sweat equity is the personification, I think, of what we in conservative radio talk about as really being the American dream.
Isn't Dan nice? But think about how bad you got to be. You got to buy the radio station and put yourself on.
The clinical term for that is testicular fortitude.
Mike, I always loved your show. Dom and Mike bought me beer on the air. Please, I love these guys.
That was an excerpt from the recent MillMag live event at Colectivo's Back Room. Milwaukee Magazine's managing editor Tom Tolan and I moderated the evening and did our best to rein in Mike Crute and Earl Ingram from WRRD, Jerry Bader from Green Bay's WTAQ, and Dan O'Donnell and Vicki McKenna from WISN.
You can find a link to Tom Tolan's original article, Do We Even Need Talk Radio Anymore, at wuwm.com.